Welcome to the Heathen Machine Chronicles. I'm your host, as always, the Heathen Machine. Welcome back to yet another episode of the Chronicles, episode number 7. We are just moving right along. Just recently passed 500 downloads, which is pretty kick-ass. So again, I appreciate every single one of you who tunes in, downloads, you know, tune in being a outdated term, I guess, at this point. But for those who remember what tuning in is, I appreciate it. So did you know, before I go into this episode topic, which will be masculinity, I recently found out that there is a creatine shortage. Did you know this? There is a worldwide shortage of creatine. You want to know why? Because all of it comes out of fucking China. That's why. And that is a problem. Even Creapure, the brand that you see most of in creatine products, they rely heavily on China. And of course, China is, I don't know, they're doing whatever they're doing, locking shit down. I mean, that's what communist dictators do, is they lock shit down. So just remember that when you go and you buy a creatine and you think you're getting some unique creatine product, you're not. All of it, almost all of it comes from China. So whether you buy it from Redcon One or Optimum or whatever fucking weekly supplement company is on the top, they all get it from the same source. And that goes with just about every other supplement. You're buying it from the same manufacturers. There's very few manufacturers of supplements. It's all about marketing. Just remember that. So episode 7, last week you talked about psychedelics, which is a topic I'll be covering more. But this time around, I wanted to touch on a topic I've hit on a little bit on my Instagram, and that's masculinity, but specifically the healthy masculine male versus the toxic one. I think it's important to differentiate that because I think masculinity as a whole has been, I don't know if misunderstood is the right word. There's just been a few bad apples, like the saying goes, that spoils the bunch. And I think that's kind of what we're dealing with now. And I want to talk about masculinity because it's being bastardized by seemingly small groups of individuals, but it's snowballing into something bigger. And I don't think that's good for a society. Now, look, there are endless podcasts and mouth speakers all over social media that are discussing this very topic, men and actually women as well. So, but I'm going to add my own voice to this topic because I think it's as important as a discussion to say psychedelics. We're living in an interesting time where technology has upended the system that was already undergoing pretty significant cultural, political, and social changes. It's just that technology is ramping up this change, this process. And I don't think we're able to keep up with it. But when you have something like instant access to information, this will always, almost always, lead to missing context, cross signals, misunderstandings. And I feel like that's probably where we're at now. That's why we're seeing concepts like masculinity being warped and twisted into something they're really not, or at the very least, only represents a very, very small portion of the group, that group being the masculine man. The problem really, though, is that masculinity has been hijacked by weak men. Men who treat others, especially women, as less than or inferior to them. It's easy to judge the whole of men by the actions of a few. For example, this discussion of masculinity and what constitutes toxic masculinity and what doesn't. It seems the concept of masculinity gets generalized by people who don't really have an interest in constructive dialogue, nor do they have an interest in ever highlighting healthy, strong masculinity, because there are plenty of examples of that. Men who are raising daughters, men who are raising children by themselves. You know, it's weird. You hear this concept like mansplaining or a guy wanting to hold the door open for a woman or something. Like in this current time period, those things are they're viewed as weird, or the man is trying to establish his dominance, which says more about the people saying these things than the guy himself, right? That usually a critical person is critical because they're projecting their inefficiencies, their insecurities. And oftentimes they're not even coming from a place of any experience. But why is this happening? I don't have an answer. And I have a sneaking suspicion that no one really has an answer. I could venture to guess that it's a power shift, because at the end of the day, regardless of genders, humans crave power and control. It seems to be the way we're wired. But I think it's important to have a strong presence in society of the confident, respectful, healthy, masculine man, because they are out there. And I wager that they far outnumber the shithead weak men that are out there. Isn't it interesting that so much of what we saw during this Me Too movement started in these traditionally very liberal circles like Hollywood, actors, producers? It was these weak men in powerful positions who used those positions to force women and men, young boys sometimes, into doing things they shouldn't have to do, often leaving years of trauma in their wake. And it always seems to work this way. Weak men get into powerful positions and they always use it to dominate someone else of either gender. Because weak men know they will never have the physical tool set to be truly dominant. You know, there was a time where weak men were held in check by strong men. But, quote unquote, civilization has sort of upended that, where weak men have massive amounts of power. They're not only weak physically, they're also weak mentally, because that type of mindset, wanting power and control over others and then abusing that power, is already the thoughts of a mentally unstable person. They cower behind this false sense of power and they use it like a weapon. That's a toxic man. So what's to be done about this? Again, I don't have an answer. And again, I don't think anyone does. But I am confident to know what a healthy masculine male is and what a weak toxic man is. So I made a little list here of essentials to what I see as vital to walking the path of the strong, bold, confident, masculine man. And I'll try to compare contrast that with the toxic, insecure man. First off, the healthy male will acknowledge his own shortcomings, his own weaknesses. Not only will they acknowledge this, but they'll also put into play actionable goals to improve on these shortcomings. The healthy male mindset knows that to live is to constantly be evolving, and to become stagnant is a sure way to breed and foster resentment. Resentment being a hallmark of the weak, toxic man. Now, the toxic male projects their own insecurities and their own weaknesses on everyone around them, because in their eyes, they're never wrong. Everything they say and do is right, and everything you say is wrong, because they lack the ability to be self-critical because it takes a strong man to admit when he's wrong. A weak man will never gain this type of insight. This type of man, you'll never hear an apology from. It is imperative, if you want to walk the path of the strong, healthy masculine, to constantly seek to improve yourself through education, through experiencing cultures that are not your own, and to practice empathy by placing yourself into the shoes of those who have differing opinions. Challenge your assumptions. It's much easier said than done, but remember, being strong is about letting go of outdated thought processes. The healthy masculine man leads by actions, thus fostering a sense of trust with all who enter the healthy masculine space. Confidence is inherent. Being around a healthy, confident man, notice the emphasis on healthy, is obvious because this individual, this man, has no need to brag or overshadow the accomplishments of anyone around him. He doesn't play the one-up game. The healthy masculine carries himself with respect, with dignity, and there's nothing wrong with that. Again, this is one of those things where a small group of people in our society are threatened by that. They see dignity and respect as demeaning somehow. And that just goes to show their own warped sense of reality. But this concept of self-confidence, it's so important because confidence is health. And when chaotic situations arise, confidence is necessary when making important decisions under duress. The toxic male does not lead, even if they fill an arbitrary role as leader. Problem with this toxic male is that instead of leading through strong and bold action, this male uses intimidation and threats. In his role as leader and title only, he tends to diminish those around him, and that breeds resentment and distrust in those in subordinate roles. Love, loyalty, respect, trust, these are all cultivated like a gardener tending to the garden. You sow your seeds, you water them, you nourish them, you care for them. You can't force these concepts of love, respect, trust, when belittling or harassing or intimidating those around you. The space of the healthy masculine is a space for all to feel welcomed in. And it's in this space where enduring relationships are formed. It is in this space that the healthy masculine thrives in. The healthy masculine encourages healthy competition, yet does nothing to diminish the efforts of anybody. In opposition to this, the toxic male always does what he can to highlight the weaknesses of those around them, while doing everything to highlight themselves, to highlight why he is better. And so this toxic male misses the point of competition. While competition does inevitably lead to those who may be better at something, the true importance and spirit of competition is to learn how to improve and progress. You ever notice of those at the top of their game, or those who are successful, rarely spend time or energy on being hateful or critical of those around them? Notice that? It's because they're using their energy to better themselves and those around them. In similar fashion, the healthy masculine focuses on his own success and lends his own wisdom and experiences freely to others in order to help those in his space. The healthy masculine understands that sharing this knowledge freely will only strengthen his peer group, his social group, and those that are surrounding him. And that leads to a better overall community, which leads to a better overall society. The healthy masculine male is confident in stride, meaning the way they walk and carry themselves, in demeanor, and in speech. There's no wishy-washy language or half-truths. You'll know where you stand with them. The healthy masculine allows space for healthy interactions. healthy dialogue, and provides a safe space and environment in which all opinions can coexist, even when the healthy masculine does not agree with said opinion. This last part is especially important as the cultural and political landscape becomes ever more divided. The healthy masculine is not threatened by differing viewpoints because, as I said earlier, the healthy masculine recognizes that life is a constant learning curve. And even in those who have vastly different viewpoints, the healthy masculine understands that they will offer a bit of insight or knowledge which can only enhance the healthy male. The toxic masculine, while on the surface, may seem like a good individual. They may even carry themselves in a way that hides away their insecure weaknesses, but soon they reveal themselves, and their true nature often leaves no room for other opinion. They're quick to talk over others and provide only a hostile environment in which to communicate and exist. The toxic masculine, as I mentioned earlier, refuses to admit wrongs and rarely ever addresses their own behaviors or shortcomings. Differing points of view are a threat to the toxic male, as they tend to be overly rigid in ideology instead of understanding that human nature ebbs and flows, and culture often reflects this. Lastly, and I think this is, for me, one of the more important points, the healthy masculine is compassionate, but also vulnerable. The strong, healthy man understands compassion because the healthy man loves, not controls, not dictates, but loves. But make no mistake, the healthy male is also capable of great violence and is willing to enact such extreme measures if his circle is threatened. The healthy masculine doesn't compromise who he is just because it appeases those who are intimidated by strong and healthy male presence. So remember this. If you are a compassionate, vulnerable man, there's nothing wrong with that. Most of the savage fucking men that I have met in my life have been the nicest, nice to everybody, and they do everything in their power to not have to revert to that little toolbox marked violence. But sometimes their hand is forced and they will act. That's a healthy man, because a healthy man can love. A healthy man can be compassionate, but a healthy man can also be violent when it is necessary. You know, those are other concepts that get really muddied in the water. Violence. And I guess the right and proper application of it. The healthy male understands when and where to use it. Because as I said, the healthy man loves. They understand compassion. They have families. And even if they don't have families, they want to protect their community. Now, the toxic male is the antithesis to all of this. The toxic man does not love anything other than themselves. And he only cares about achieving his own goals, often at the emotional and physical expense of those he latches onto and uses like a leech. The toxic male views everything around him as tools to be manipulated. And they'll even give up their identity to gain status and weasel their way into whatever social group they're trying to infiltrate. These men don't practice compassion. They only seek to gain control in order to dominate, both mentally and physically, those around him. Now look, this is by no means a complete takedown or discussion of, you know, what it is to be a healthy masculine man. I suspect that it's a conversation that will always be there, and it will change as society and culture changes. But I think it's a good start. I think ultimately most people understand what a good, decent man is and what a toxic shithead man is. I'm always wary of guys who call themselves male feminists. You know, because here's the thing. Goes back to confidence. You know, a confident person whether it's a man or a woman, doesn't have to tell people or broadcast to everyone what they are. Just by the way they carry themselves, by the way they interact with people, you can more or less pick up on who they are and what they're about. Again, there are obviously, as I've said earlier, toxic men that can mask that. But the charade only goes on for so long. And as we all know, the truth eventually bubbles to the surface because you cannot contain the truth. It will come out at some point because acting as something you're not will become a strain to, say, a toxic male who's trying to weasel their way into a group by portraying himself as something he's really not. One of the things I get a lot message-wise on my Instagram is the younger men sending me messages sort of thanking me for taking this approach to how I'm approaching fitness, but applying broader concepts to it while maintaining, I guess, what I want to portray as being a healthy masculine man. You know, I'm not here to diminish anybody. I'm not here to be critical. I'm not here to be political. I want to help people and also want to show people out there that there's plenty of healthy masculine men out there. And we want to share our knowledge. We want to teach, and not teaching, not mansplaining, right? But sharing wisdom freely when it's asked for. So I get that part about mansplaining. There are a lot of guys who like to inject their supposed knowledge when nobody asks for it. Not surprisingly, that is typically a hallmark of the toxic male. Well, I hope you gained some sort of insight from this episode. I'll do more covering this topic from different angles and maybe in the future. I can have guests on here discussing topics like this. Yes, that's definitely something I want to start doing more of. I think at this point, I've got the cement of getting this podcast, you know, recorded, edited. And really, after a while, to maintain forward momentum and to keep everyone's interest is to start bringing on guests. So look forward to that in the future. There are definitely some people lined up that I'll be contacting. So be on the lookout for that. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'm always dropping new episodes of the Heathen Machine Chronicles every Wednesday. Podcast can be found wherever major podcasts, or just where podcasts are found, on all major platforms: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and so on. If you have any additional thoughts or input or something I could have explained better, or maybe you just wanted to express how you feel about what I've said, don't be afraid to reach out. Send me a message on Instagram at The Heathen Machine, and even throw out some suggestions for future topics. From deep in the Ozark foothills, Heathen Machine out.